And what kind of 2021 are we walking into as we head towards the end of the first month? We know, of course, the race for a vaccine is heating up globally. Many, many countries, though, experiencing new waves of the pandemic. In countries like the UK and the United States, the numbers are off the charts. Is it going to be more of the same from 2020, or can we expect some changes? We've spoken to him before, and he joins us again. Marius Oosthuizen is a futurist with Stratific Foresight and a lecturer at Gibbs Business School. Marius, a pleasure to chat to you once again. Welcome back to the program.
Morning, Bongani. Morning to your listeners.
So when you and I last chatted, I think it was May last year, the cases around the world, listen to this, right? We were sitting at around 9,000 deaths and 200,000 cases, roughly, of COVID-19. The picture now is markedly different because we've got, almost 95 million cases in total, and 2 million people have succumbed to COVID-19. How much can change in, 8 months?
It is quite amazing, Bongani. It's quite scary, in fact, what's happened. But, of course, at the time, you know, with a little bit of information we had about the virus at the time, we could anticipate that we could see this kind of scenario. We knew at the time, if you look back at those scenarios, that it's going to come down to whether countries can respond effectively, you know, whether they can use lockdowns and other measures. And of course, you know, as those responses go, so have the infections. Countries that have been really proactive and really effective, South Korea, China to some degree, have seen less infections. Unfortunately, the U.S. is probably the worst case of how to handle it.
You had a number of scenarios that you described. There was the storm in a teacup where there was a slow rate, small scale of infections. Would you say that is the scenario that has played out, say, around the continent? I think you had one called Africa Spared as well. We account for only 2.5% of global cases. By and large, the continent seems to have withstood the onslaught of this thing.
It does seem that we have. You know, Africa is in some ways quite unique compared to other continents. Our very young population, on the one hand, has saved us a tremendous amount. You know, this virus does target the elderly and the frail and the infirm mostly. And then the second thing is interesting. You know, in countries like the UK, where there are very high levels of public transport usage, this virus spreads through human contact. So in Africa, in some ways, our deficits in development, in infrastructure, in lack of access to large-scale trains and those kinds of things, where millions of people are in conglomerated spaces, have in some ways saved us and slowed the spread. I must also say that African countries have been some of the most proactive. I think to some extent, African governments were probably paranoid, you know, to the extent that they took very early, very aggressive lockdowns. In South Africa, we saw that. We saved ourselves a lot of pain. We learned some lessons over December, and now we're bearing the brunt of that.
Some people would dispute that, Marius, and they'll say, yes, we took some action early on, but that we relaxed a little bit, and that's why we're beginning to see a spike in the numbers. That, in fact, through lack of planning, through last-minute scrambles, we have played ourselves into that perfect storm scenario where we are seeing a fast and large scale of infection. We're seeing the health system once again overwhelmed by the numbers of people. And with this new variant, people are staying even longer in hospitals, which puts even more pressure on the system.
Right. You know, I think there were two ways in which we could get into that perfect storm. The first would be if we had a comorbidity around something like HIV/AIDS or TB that led to hundreds of thousands of South Africans having to face potential mortality. Now, we've been fortunate that it doesn't seem to be the case that at that kind of scale, we see mortality rates in South Africa. On the other hand, the question of an effective response, you know, is government building the capacity in our health system? Is the private sector health system expanding capacity appropriately? And I think that we were perhaps too early, especially in places like the Western Cape, where we had very proactive preparation in the first wave. We were too early in dismantling those and looking the other way and thinking that we've overcome this thing. And I think it's caught us off guard a little bit. Of course, with the new variant, and this is not scaremongering, but the reality is this virus is a living, dynamic thing. We were fortunate so far that the variant doesn't seem to be more deadly. It doesn't seem to be affecting younger people, which would make a big difference. So far, it looks like it's going to respond to the vaccine. That's the anticipated outcome. But of course, that's one of the major uncertainties going forward is,
yeah,
do we live with COVID with vaccines, or do we live with COVID 2.0? This will have to, you know, remains to be seen.
So let's look now at 2021. The word futurist is perhaps at times misleading because your job isn't quite to predict what is going to happen. But based on our handling of this issue so far, based on where we find ourselves, the health system that we have, the long queue with many countries already ahead of us to get the vaccine, what kind of 2021 can we anticipate?
Well, I think we're going to be facing headwinds on two fronts. On the one hand, I think it's another COVID year. That's the way I sort of described it, which means it's a year of working from home if you're fortunate. It's a year probably of lots of pressure for those who can't work from home, lots of uncertainty. As I've just said, if we do see a slightly more aggressive variant of the virus, I think that will put us into a very different picture. You know, at the moment, the fact that children are safe, children can spread the virus, but they really don't face any real substantive risk except for very remote cases. If that were to change, we would be in a completely different environment. We would face a perfect storm of a different kind. But at the moment, that doesn't seem to be on the cards. What does seem to be the case is that our economy is going to be in a state of stagnation that we haven't seen, at least in living memory. South Africans wouldn't know what that's like. You know, most of us weren't around in the Great Depression. And so the question of how does a South African economy respond with a lockdown without the capacity to spend aggressively because of our debt levels. And so the COVID legacy starts to become a bigger problem than COVID itself year towards the second half of the year. Even with vaccines, how do we get ourselves out of the economic hole that we've dug ourselves into?
So in the immediate future, we survive the pandemic, we get vaccinated. In the medium to long term, we try and see how our economy can pick up. Marius Oosthuizen from Strategic Foresight is also a lecturer at Gibbs Business School. Thank you for your time this morning.